Hello, it's Friday 11th of September. I'm Hannah Pearson from Per Anderson.
And I'm Gary Bowerman from Check In Asia.
And this is episode 5 of the Friday Rewind.
Hello, wherever you are in the world, and thanks for listening in to the 5th installment of the Friday Rewind show.
Over the next 15 minutes, we'll zoom through the 5 top talking points in Southeast Asian travel from the past 7 days. So what's up first, Gary?
First story this week is Thailand's Songkran replacement holiday rakes in 8.8 billion Thai baht.
Yeah, not bad.
It's not bad, right? Is it?
So they had a long weekend from 4 to 7 September. It was part of these Songkran replacement holidays. And apparently there were 8 million trips in total. Tourism Authority of Thailand, TAT, said they're very pleased at the results of this. And it's encouraging, isn't it?
Yeah, it was very encouraging. I mean, it's an interesting point. You mentioned that there's 8 million trips. Actually, they were very specific about the number that they issued.
Yes.
They said 7,968,080 trips.
Yeah, I didn't think exactly. I'd remember such a long number.
I don't know how they came up with that figure. And they also said there were 11,215,836 vehicles entered and exited Bangkok during the weekend, which was 36% up on predictions.
Yes.
So that's not bad. I don't know how that actually relates to travel trips.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But good news that it was up despite, you know, because last week we were talking about this, that there was that potential, you know, that had that one locally transmitted case that came up last week. So there was the potential for people to suddenly get spooked, but that didn't really seem to happen.
Yeah, that's true. Some of the popular destinations seem to be in Koh Chang, seems to be pretty popular. Hua Hin.
Yeah, yes.
And I think for Koh Chang, there were long ferry queues to get to the actual...
Yeah,
ferry port. And there were pictures of that as well.
Mm.
So people are obviously taking the opportunity to get to the islands to take a four-day break.
Yes, and I think Phuket did pretty well out of that as well.
Right, right.
So... good. It's a happy story to start off with for once on the Friday Rewind.
Absolutely. A happy story, even though the Phuket issue is just rumbling on and on.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows what's going to happen with that? Will it open? Let's see. We'll see what happens next week.
So our second story, we move to Vietnam, Hannah.
Yeah. And this is another positive one, really. So Vietnam has started to restore many of its domestic flights. So obviously it had this second outbreak, which was detected in Da Nang. In July. This seems to now be largely contained. They have opened up the beaches again in Da Nang. They have restored the passenger transportation links to Da Nang as well, which is great news. So this essentially means that domestic tourism can start to happen once more.
Yeah, I was reading, so schools are opening up in phases in Da Nang as well, I think from next week.
Mm.
Cafes and restaurants are open with a maximum of 30 people.
Yeah.
And in the last 9 days, almost 73,000 people have tested, been tested in Da Nang itself, and 99.8% of them were negative.
That's pretty great, isn't it?
They really reacted fast, didn't they? I was also reading in Ho Chi Minh City that I think it was the governor said that the life's back to normal in Ho Chi Minh City, because obviously there were cases in Hanoi, Ho Chi Minh City, and in other places across the country.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a remarkable story how they've actually managed to react so fast.
Mm. Yeah, and I think even more amazing is that they are now considering reopening these international flights as well on the 15th September. So they are not letting this second wave spook them from reopening. And of course, this is going to be very limited international flights, we presume. It will be lots and lots of caveats included. But for me, yeah, it's definitely positive that they are not being so adversely affected by this that they've just decided, no, we're going to stay closed off for the rest of 2020.
Yeah, absolutely. It looks like the first two destinations for those flights will be Japan and South Korea.
Mm.
But I think only 4 services per week to each destination. 14-day quarantine is still in place.
Yeah, exactly. I think other countries that were tipped to be reopened are Laos, I think it was.
And China. We'll leave it there.
Yeah, China is definitely on the list. So moving on to another part of the world, Singapore. What's been going on in Singapore this week, Gary?
Yeah, well, Singapore's story is an area of the travel industry that's taken a huge battering. Mm. And, you know, there weren't really too many hopes that it was going to come back very quickly. And that's the MICE sector.
Yes.
Which is very, very important to Singapore. Apparently, there are 34,000 jobs in Singapore are related either indirectly or directly to MICE.
Yeah.
And it contributes 3.8 billion Singapore dollars, which is around about 1% of GDP.
Yeah, and that's impressive.
It is the region's largest centre for business events.
Yes.
has great venues,
mm-hmm.
Marina Bay Sands,
yes.
Suntec. These are great venues.
Yep.
Good infrastructure for hosting them.
Mm.
So Singapore Tourism Board has said that it's going to start accepting tenders and applications on the 1st of October for business events of up to 250 people.
That's great, isn't
That's
it?
That's a positive movement. Now, there are issues that come with that because Singapore Tourism Board said that actually to revamp the MICE industry or to rethink the MICE industry, which is the word they use, they're going to have to think end to end.
Yes.
Because it's an international destination. Mm-hmm. You know, these events often bring people in from around the world.
Yeah.
So you have to look at how they can actually safely bring people back in.
Yes.
So that's an issue there. But there was an interesting comment that I noticed from Keith Chan, who's the chief executive of the Singapore Tourism Board. He said that the country is progressively looking at reciprocal travel arrangements with countries of similar prevalence rates, and that we should expect more announcements from the Ministry of Transport and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in the near future.
I saw that too, and I thought, oh, that's very interesting. So it really looks like Singapore is moving away from this kind of zero COVID closed policy and to opening up. And there was another nice quote from the Minister for Trade and Industry. And he said that, you know, opening up for MICE is not just for a tangible monetary benefit for the economy. It's not just about jobs, but it's about the exchange of ideas. Right, so he really sees that that exchange of ideas that is enabled through meetings, through conferences in Singapore to be key to Singapore's development as well, which I thought was a really nice way of looking at how crucial MICE is to the industry.
Yeah, I mean, both you and I, Hannah, around about this time of the year, maybe in a few weeks' time, we'd be going down to Singapore to ITB Asia, which is the biggest travel event in Asia Pacific.
Yes.
It's a huge event, and it is a great exchange of ideas. I mean, we meet a lot of people, you talk to people, you hear a lot of different talks and seminars and things like that. It is a great way to meet people from around the world, to share ideas of this time of the year. It can't happen. It's a virtual event this year. But obviously, that's hugely missed. And if there are any way to reboot that early next year, I think the attendance would exceed 250 by a factor of many, many.
Yes, definitely. So moving on, well, kind of moving on, but not really. So moving on to aviation, but staying within Singapore. This week, not so positive news. So Singapore Airlines have announced that they will be cutting 2,400 positions across the network, both in Singapore and in their worldwide locations as well. So they had said originally a few months ago that they would need to cut 4,300. But they have said that they have managed to get to 2,400 because they have had a recruitment freeze. They have had this natural attrition. So I guess we can understand by that people just leaving anyway. Early retirement, voluntary release. So through all of that, they've already lost 1,900 positions. But it's not good.
No, so you're absolutely right. The actual net loss of jobs is 4,300. But it's actually 2,400 that are going to be losing their jobs. They're going to be rationalized using the rather horrible terminology that in the modern day. There are 27,619 staff of Singapore Airlines, Scoot, and Silk Air.
Yep.
That's according to their most recent stock exchange submission. But it just reflects the realities of the situation that we're in. The official statement says that these decisions were taken in light of the long road to recovery for the global airline industry due to the debilitating impact of COVID-19 and the urgent need for the group to adapt to an uncertain future.
Hmm.
I mean, those words, you don't even need to read between them. They're stated very, very clearly the difficulties that Singapore Airlines has had. It's received a lot of funding from Temasek and support from the government. It is so crucial to the economy of Singapore.
Yes.
So on the one hand, you know, there's these notions and these movements to bring MICE back into the city to some degree.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the airline capacity is going to be struggling for a period of time.
Yep, and that's not going to recover fast.
And that's not going to recover anytime soon, no.
So hopping to Philippines, and a similar kind of story, isn't it? So we've got Philippine Airlines, who have just announced a new Project Gamma, they're calling it, which may see them lose up to 40% of their workforce. So it's a workforce of about 6,000. They haven't confirmed how many cuts. They haven't confirmed, you know, whether it will be retrenchment, whether it will be extended leave, quite how they will do it. But however they do it, it's going to be substantial.
Yeah, absolutely. Project Gamma. I didn't realize this. Gamma is, obviously, it's a Greek symbol, but it's a term that's used by investors to describe risk scenarios. That's what they called it.
I learned that too.
But yeah, Philippine Airlines is in terrible financial trouble. It lost 20 billion pesos between January and June this year. And that compares to a 3.3 billion loss in the same period, H1 last year.
Yeah.
So the losses are mounting. And at the moment, you know, the virus situation there means that inbound and outbound flights are not going to recommence at any capacity level for some time.
No, and even domestic flights are very tricky with, you know, certain airports that are closed and others that are open and suddenly reclosing again. It's not a particularly stable environment, even for domestic.
No. Unfortunately, both these stories, you know, Singapore Airlines and Philippine Airlines, crucial to their own economies.
Yes.
But the moves that they're taking now, they've obviously both tried to delay them as long as they could.
Yeah.
But they've come to a realization that, A, the recovery is going to be very, very slow. Mm. It's not going to happen at any speed that they would have hoped it to be.
Yeah.
And once they lose these staff, once they shed these numbers of staff, obviously it's going to reduce their own capacity to manage flights in future.
It will. Last story then. What's the last story?
Let's cheer ourselves up. Let's move to Cambodia. Now, Cambodia is preparing to host its first ever major sporting event.
Nice. Well done, Cambodia.
Well done, Cambodia. Although it won't happen for 3 years. This is going to happen in 2023. Cambodia will host the 32nd Southeast Asia Games in the capital, Phnom Penh. It will take place between the 5th and the 15th of May in 2023. But the planning has just started. There was a meeting this week, which was chaired, not ironically, by the Minister of Tourism. So obviously they're looking ahead at this event to try and help reboot the tourism sector itself. The tourism minister himself said that this event will be developed and they will build infrastructure to promote tourism and social development and to contribute to the national economy. I think there's this hope that in 3 years' time they can host an international sporting event which brings together all the countries of the region. And it might be a good time to, you know, to reboot all of those elements. Now, the Southeast Asia Games was held here in Kuala Lumpur in 2017.
Yes.
Last year, 2019, it was held in Philippines. It was a little bit of a disaster because a lot of the facilities and some of the accommodations weren't quite finished. And next year, 2021, it will be held in Hanoi in Vietnam. And Vietnam is also advancing its preparations for that. A lot of brands in Vietnam are starting to do deals to present, to promote and have sporting ambassadors for their products for the next year ahead of the games there. So it's starting to create some sort of commercial revenue. I think it's being hosted at the end of November in Vietnam next year.
Okay, at least it's at the end of the year.
It's at the end of the year.
That gives time.
Yeah, so that gives them time. And then 2 years later, in 2023, Cambodia takes it over. It's building a new national stadium, a 55,000-seat national stadium.
And they think about 60,000 people will be actually participating in the games. So it's a good number to come, even if you're just thinking about the officials and the athletes and everybody else, let alone all the spectators who will fly in and support the teams.
Yeah, they haven't yet announced too many details about the actual planning. They have said that events will be held in different parts of the country. Swimming, I think, is going to be hosting Battambang. And they're going to set the actual budget next year. But it does look like they're planning some time ahead. This is, as I said, this is the first time they've ever hosted a major international sporting event. And it might be a good timing for them.
Yeah.
In 3 years' time.
Let's hope. Well, that brings us to the end of this week's edition of the Friday Rewind. We'll be back next week with our usual midweek edition of the podcast, and Friday Rewind will return on the 25th of September.
In the meantime, you can catch up with all our previous episodes on the website, www.theseasiatravelshow.com, or search for the Southeast Asia Travel Show on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Podchaser, and Stitcher.
So that's a wrap for the Friday Rewind, and we look forward to talking Southeast Asia travel and tourism again with you very soon.